Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network from GoPSURV.com, where we're offering a special Keystone Sports Network RV. Check out all the details, all the amenities at GoPSURV.com. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 joins us now to try to make sense of where this Penn State football program is, because the conversation about it, Tyler, is getting very existential. You know, I think back-to-back losses is one thing. Back-to-back losses in the manner that Penn State lost those games is another. A lot of people are questioning everything, and I think that's fair right now.
Yeah, I think psychological is a good way to put it, too. Everyone's kind of wondering where the coaching staff said that. You know, Ricky Ronnie, James Franklin, Brent Pry. Collectively as the players, you know, I'm sure I'm not the first one to tell you this, but after the game on Saturday, there was just kind of a daze among the players. It was a different vibe than what we picked up after the Ohio State game. It wasn't so much anger and frustration. It was kind of almost like they were befuddled a little bit about what just happened coming off the bye week, because I think their expectations were at a whole different level. And in the grand scheme of things, they went out there and ultimately delivered pretty much a dud, especially on offense, which I know we'll discuss.
Yeah, I think, that's the thing that stands out the most is that, you know, even though this was not the best version of Penn State's football team that showed up at home, which I know is disappointing in its own right, there were, I don't know how many plays that if Penn State makes one, they win the game. There might have been 8 or 10 or 12 plays left out there where if it goes Penn State's direction, they win this game. I think that, you know, I venture to say that that's where a lot of fans are struggling and wrestling with that. And I'm sure that was part of the days in the media room afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point in that game, I mean, where you knew even if Penn State won, that the product that they put on the field was not any better. It was not as good as what we saw out on the field 2 weeks ago when they played Ohio State. So it was concerning either way. But it did appear, you know, there were opportunities to turn that corner, you know, gain some cushion, put Michigan State away, essentially survive and advance and get to 5-1 and potentially be ranked 6 or 7 or 5 or what have you with all these teams losing in the top 10. But they just weren't able to do that. And, you know, into the final minute of this game, it still felt like, despite a lot of shortcomings, despite one of the worst offensive displays they put up in the last few years, they still were going to pull it out. They still were going to be able to beat a Michigan State team that, quite frankly, has not been very good this year at all. And, you know, this was a game you did not need to be an elite team to win this game. Far from it. You just needed to get it done. Execute in a couple key situations on either side of the football, pick up a first down, move the chains, you know, simple put away kind of things that this team has struggled with. And, you know, that's obviously surfacing as the big psychological question now. And philosophical question is, why aren't they slamming the door shut in positions where that's what great teams do? That's what championship contenders do. They haven't been able to do that against the same two Big Ten opponents back-to-back years, and suddenly a little bit of an identity crisis surfacing as we get into mid-October.
Identity crisis is a good way to put it. We had some questions that I'll ask Greg from our listeners just about the four-minute offense. And in these situations where sometimes you just need to kill the clock, you need to lean on something, that's part of this trend you talked about. Losing to Ohio State and Michigan State in back-to-back years. You talk about the Rose Bowl a couple years ago where I think the Penn State offense had a chance to maybe slam the door. How concerning is that the Penn State's offense, as brilliant as it often is, just hasn't been able to come through in those situations?
Yeah, I think it's definitely concerning because, I mean, you turn on your TV and, you know, any time in the last 10 years, you see, you know, an Alabama with the lead, you know, late in the game, you can pretty much keep turning your channel and then go on to the next game because Alabama's going to put that game away, you know, 99 times out of 100. Penn State has had trouble, and, you know, they haven't had trouble blowing out teams they don't get blown out, you know, at least not in the last, you know, 30 games or so. But they do have an issue when it comes to just putting that drive together, you know, getting a 6-7 play drive sustained that can milk the clock. And I mean, it just turned into kind of a circus there. You know, the two possessions that they had, Dustin, in the final 5 minutes when they had the lead, you know, 3-point lead, two possessions. They ran 7 plays, offensively. They picked up 22 yards and they took off 90 seconds off the clock on those 7 plays and the 2 possessions. They picked up 1 first down on a throw to Juwan Johnson. The rest were inefficient plays, runs that gained essentially nothing. And then the cherry on top of this disastrous situation was Trace McSorley on that third down play running out of bounds with 90 seconds to go in the contest. That gives Michigan State an opportunity to keep one of those timeouts in their back pocket, which they used on the game go-ahead touchdown drive that followed up. And it also put the pressure on Penn State's defense that for a second straight game can make the case that we're starting to see signs of a defense that can kind of hold its end of the bargain, that can help you go out and pursue, you know, a Big Ten championship or hang in there and be that kind of team. And then it, almost mysteriously, this offense drops off a cliff coming out of the bye week. It was the numbers are terrible. Chris McSorley, you know, it's certainly not all on him, but we haven't seen him play with that kind of lack of confidence, that lack of efficiency here the last couple of years, and that was strange to see. But the inability to just move the chains one time, you know you need to do it. I know a lot of people are going to point to Penn State's unwillingness to throw the ball in that situation. They went with 3 runs, and again, the third of those runs was McSorley stopping the clock, going out of bounds in a bizarre move. People are saying this is a Michigan State team that we've heard can get passed on. You know, one of 8 teams in college football coming into the last weekend that had allowed 300-plus passing yards. It seemed like Penn State early wanted to make it the point that they would be able to run the ball. They had a couple flashes there from Miles Sanders with long-distance runs. Overall, though, really started to get bottled up. The passing game just never came together, and I don't know if it was a trust thing or it was just the decision of Ricky Ronnie and James Franklin late in the game to put the ball, keep the ball on the ground. But they didn't go to the air once when they had a chance to put that game away. One pass completion could have put them to 5-1 and really changed how we're talking about this team. Although I'm sure we'd be pointing out a lot of concerns, but a win tends to cure a lot of what ails you, and it tends to kind of sweep some things under the carpet. Instead, it's all out there for everyone to talk about on this Monday morning.
Yeah, just like that, the complexion of Penn State's season changes from, if they win out, this could be a college football playoff team, to it essentially feels like a lost season. I think, I don't know if there's entitlement or whatever, but I think this is the luxury and the downside of being a fan of a team that should be competing for college football playoff titles. It's a hard thing to do. And I think in reality, Tyler, this was a team that started the year with questions to answer, never really answered a lot of those, picked up another big question, I think, along the way with the performance so far of the wide receivers. And this is always a team in transition, I feel like. And from this point forward is going to dictate how people feel about this program. There's still opportunities out there, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. The questions would be linebacker, defensive line depth, perhaps, tight end. Didn't think wide receiver was going to be on that list. I think we all view that as a kind of a luxury position for this team. Nice depth, reliable veterans. And that's not what you got. DeAndre Hopkins has not caught a pass in 3 of 6 games this year. Juwan Johnson has not been the number one receiver caliber that people expected him to take that leap. Brandon Polk, Mack Hippenhammer, they're nice players. They're not game changers.
Yeah, Tyler, we lost you for just a second there, just talking about the wide receivers and really the unexpected nature of the lack of reliability. And I think in the end, to have been in a situation where you're on the verge of beating Ohio State and you should have beaten Michigan State with that going on, I think is kind of remarkable.
Well, it tells you what they've got. They've got parts on offense and Miles Sanders and Trace McSorley, they can lean on guys. They don't need to be at 100%. I think that's been proven time and time again. to get it done on our offense, but they weren't even close. I mean, this was a puzzling performance on Saturday. I mentioned Trace McSorley just not having it. He was the first one to tell you that after the game. But, you know, there was plenty of blame to go around in this game, and part of it was just, what aren't we seeing? You know, there's some intangibles there that didn't translate from a two-week bye week where you should have all the motivation in the world to come out and play sharp. We heard last week that Penn State had its best practice, not just of the season, but of James Franklin's career here, and we heard that from James Franklin. So I think we're all anticipating the offense, at the very least, is going to come out, you know, clicking. Maybe the passing game takes a step forward. Instead, this team did not look as good as it did against Ohio State. I thought Trace McSorley himself, you know, put it pretty well. He said against Ohio State, they felt like they played well enough to win, and they just didn't, and that hurt. This time around, they just didn't play well enough to win. And I think, you know, Trace McSorley saying that, seeing his kind of facial expressions, it's a different reaction from this group, Dustin. They were frustrated, they were angry, but they were motivated after Ohio State. This time, it was kind of like, you know, everyone was just kind of trying to recover from what they just experienced. Almost felt like a little bit of a post-traumatic moment for them, which is saying a lot because the Ohio State ending was very emotional. But so is this one, and for it to come off the bye, two losses hurts you. College football playoff, and the way that's structured right now with four teams, it's pretty much an elimination for you. And, you know, because of the way James Franklin talks about his program and the players talk about the program and how quickly expectations have gone up and continue to soar, this has really quickly become a college football playoff or bust kind of team. It's become a, you know, Big Ten title game or bust kind of team. And, you know, it's becoming apparent here already just midway through the year that those goals may not be attainable in 2018. And I think that's really tough for a lot of people to take.
Real quick, 15 seconds. Give me a pick for Indiana.
I think they'll bounce back. I still don't think they'll look very clean doing it, but I think right now I'll go with Penn State by two touchdowns, which is pretty conservative compared to where I probably thought this game was going to be.
Yeah, on the road, you got some question marks about how Penn State bounces off this loss to Michigan State. 14 points or so is a spread. Greg and I gave our picks earlier, 40-20 from Greg. This is maybe the first time all year I picked against the spread for Penn State. 35-24 was my pick there. Two touchdowns from Tyler Donahue. I'm sure you can check out at lions247.com. A little bit more specific pick for him. Tyler, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. And we're moving on here. Ask Greg, a fourth and final quarter here for us coming up in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.